Victory Young Adults. How's everyone doing tonight? Let's go. If this is your first time, can you just raise your hand? I'd like to see who I'm talking to in the room. Let's go. Okay, give a high five if they're sitting next to you. Let's go. They all high five themselves. I love that. Well, I just want to welcome you guys. If you're watching online, we're so excited that you wanted to join us for our service tonight. If you don't know who I am, I know I'm not Pastor Vance. I'm not Pastor Gabrielle. I am Jess Hidden, okay? I am the VYA coordinator, and so I get to oversee all of our leaders here. I get to do all the behind-the-scene things, and it's super fun. But I'm excited to be able to share a word with you guys today. I believe that the Lord has really been ministering to me for this word, and I believe that God is really going to stir some things in us. I don't know about you, but I've actually grown up in the church. I've always been in the church. I was like born in a church. My parents were pastors. And so I've been in the church for a minute now, okay? And it comes to a point in your life where, you know, you're growing with the Lord and you're doing the things. But there's some times where you're like, God, I really just actually need a touch from you in a really tangible way. And I need something to set apart because I'm growing weary, I'm exhausted, and I need something else to give me a push to continue to pursue you. And I feel like we've been in a space, even as a church, as Victory Church as a whole, we've been really talking about discipleship and really getting grounded in the Word. On Sundays, if you didn't know, we're part of a big church, Victory Church, okay? And we have Sunday services, 6 p.m. Saturday night. And then 9-11 and 1, that's a plug, but still come to Sunday services. But we've been talking through the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, it's all about the early church, the disciples, the ones that walked with Jesus. They were going out and they were becoming the church. They were going and ministering. They were going and making more disciples. And so we've been working through the book of Acts, like chapter by chapter. And when you look at the Bible in totality in that way, you can't help but be convicted. You can't help but go home and look in the mirror and be like, how am I not walking like a disciple like I should be? And that's been the season of life that I've been in. And because being plugged into this church, I've been challenged in my faith more than ever before. Like, am I actually counting the cost of discipleship? Am I actually willing to get arrested for my faith? Pastor Johnson said this in a meeting one day. And he was like, we're actually going down the path where we'll probably, like, we're going to get persecuted for our faith. Like, you could be imprisoned for your faith. And when I heard that, I was like, wait, what? Believe, like, we live in America. Like, we don't experience persecution like that. But the way that we're going is that the church is standing more apart from the world than ever before. And there's a reason for that. But because of that, the world is going to start persecuting us. And so I had to look in the mirror and be like, Jesus, am I still going to stand with you if I'm going to get arrested? Am I still going to stand with you if I'm getting persecuted? And I believe that we are on a journey as a church to really ground our faith that no matter the cost, we are going to stay with Jesus. We are going to walk with Jesus because even though it's costly, it's so worth it because we see light in darkness. We see a kingdom come. And so I'm excited because today we're actually going to unpack another level of discipleship. And it's going to be uncomfortable. And I'm okay with that because it was uncomfortable for me even writing it, okay? And I was challenged by it. But I think it's good for us to be challenged in our faith. It's good for us to, yes, be empowered. But the whole reason of our faith is to become more like Jesus. So that means we can't stay the same. And so I'm excited tonight because I believe that we're going to be challenged to become more like Jesus. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to get into it. So everyone can bow your heads, close your eyes. Lord, we thank you for who you are. God, I thank you that you truly are on the throne. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. God, there is no one like you, and you deserve all of our praise. And so, Lord, I pray that you will move in the room tonight, God, that these are your people, God, that we are your sons and daughters, and Lord, you are pursuing us like never before. And so, God, will our hearts be open to hear from you tonight? God, will we be willing to lay aside things, God, even if it's uncomfortable, to fully pursue what you have for us? So, Lord, will you have your way in Jesus' name? Amen. All right, so I don't know if y'all know this about me, but I was actually a collegiate athlete, okay? And that's a flex. I'm not going to convince you otherwise. I play collegiate sports. So I played volleyball, and I did track. But the story about the track part is a little interesting, okay? So I'm going to break it down for you. I wasn't like, yeah, let me sign up to run, okay? I don't know about you guys. That's not fun for me. Maybe some of you guys. I know some of you guys are runners out here. Some of our leaders want to run like a 5K, and I'm like, why would I want to do that? Yeah. But, okay, so my freshman year of high school, I was on the volleyball team, and the volleyball's husband was the volleyball coach's husband was the track coach. Yes. Okay. So the track coach came to, obviously, our volleyball game to support his wife, and he, like, watched me play volleyball. And so he came up to me after, like, maybe three games in and was like, hey, Jess, like, I'm Coach Konchak's husband. I'm the track coach. And I'm like, okay, like, what do you want? And he was like, I think you should join the track team. And I was like, why would I want to do that? I don't want to run. And he was like, no, there's more to track than just running. And that's when I learned that track is actually track and field, okay? So there's field events. And so he was explaining to me, he's like, hey, I can see that you can jump pretty high. And I was like, I know that, but, like, I don't know, like, what you're trying to drag me into. And so basically he was like, I think you should high jump for our track team. Yeah, you got to see where I'm going, okay? And so I was like, what is high jumping? I don't really know what you're talking about. Does anyone actually know what high jumping is? Raise your hand. Okay, we got a few people. Okay, for those that don't know what high jumping is, he had to literally show me a video of, like, an Olympic high jumper. I'm gonna break it down. I'm not gonna do it because that would be wild. But so there's basically a standard, right? There's, like, a bar, okay?
A bar.
Okay, and then there's a mat, right? And so what you do is you're gonna start up here, and then you're, like, gonna clear the bar. So you're, like, running, okay? And then you plant your foot, and then you jump up, and you flip over the bar, and you land on the mat. So complicated, right? So I saw this video, and I was like, that looks like it hurts. I'm not that flexible to jump over the bar like that. And so, anyways, he was like, well, just think about it. And I was like, okay. And so then a few weeks later, he's like, you're joining the track team? I was like, no. So then he finally sat me down. He finally sat me down and was like, Jess. And he knew that I wanted to play college sports. So he was like, Jess, it'll look so good to other college coaches if you play multiple sports and you'll be trained for volleyball and it'll help you jump higher in volleyball. And so I was like, you make a convincing case. So I was like, you know what? Fine. I'll try it. So my freshman year, I joined the track team. Under one condition, I did tell him, I said, I'll high jump, but I will not run, okay? So I ran in practices, but I did not run in meets. And so going throughout high school, I learned how to high jump, and it was super fun. And the thing about high jump, though, is that there is a standard that you have to jump at. So there would be opening heights where it would be like, hey, at this meet, the opening height is 4 foot. And so you'd have to jump the standard to be able to continue on in the whole meet event. Anyways, so... Okay, so that's the point about the whole track thing. So around my senior year, I was looking at colleges. I knew that I wanted to go to this college in Florida. It's called SCU, Go Fire. And I was looking at playing sports. I looked at playing volleyball, and I was like, maybe I could do track too. And so I was talking to the track coach, and he was like, yeah, like, you can 100% be a part of the track team. We would love to have you. He was like, here's the standard, though, that you have to jump to be able to be a part of the team. And it was like 5 foot, okay? And I was getting there, and if you guys know track, you know that's high, but it's not that high. I'm not an Olympian, okay? So I was like 5 foot. I had a few more meets my senior year to be able to actually reach that standard to be able to join the team. And so I trained so hard to be able to jump this height, okay? I worked my butt off. I ate right. I woke up early. I was doing double workouts, all the things. And I did it, okay? I jumped 5 foot. Thank you. Hand claps all around. I'm living in my prime right now, okay? High school prime, high jumping, okay? So I jumped 5 foot. I made it. And so I got to join the SCU track team. And that's a whole other story to continue on. But I actually was able to jump the standard to be able to be a part of the team. And the thing about our Christian walk is that there's actually a standard that we are supposed to fulfill to be able to be a part of the Christian team. And there's a standard that we have to fulfill in order to be set apart from the world. And you see, we don't all the time like standards, though, because standards make you live different to be able to actually get to that standard. And standards actually challenge you to work harder, challenge you to actually eat different, live different, work different, spend your hours different. You don't stay up until 3 a.m. if you got a high jump in the morning, okay? And so you live different in order to actually reach that standard. But we don't like standards a lot of times because it makes us live different. But regardless of if you like it or not, there's actually a standard that God gives us in how to walk out our Christian faith. And so We're going to look at 1 Peter. Got to get my notes out here. 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16. And it says, "But just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" This is the standard that God gives us. It says, "Be holy for I am holy." And we're going to unpack actually what holiness means. And so this verse, 1 Peter, that we find in 1 Peter is actually derived from Leviticus 11. And so in the book of Leviticus, God is giving these Israelite people, God's chosen people, these laws. And it's a lot of laws, okay? So in chapter 11, the specific law was what to eat. So it was either eat clean animals or unclean animals. And God was giving them and explaining to them what was a clean animal and what was an unclean animal. And so when he was saying this, he was like, birds in the sky are clean, or fish in the sea are clean, but like animals that crawl on the ground, not clean. And then he goes, "Be holy, for I am holy." And the reason for it is because God was saying, this is the separation from how other nations do things, and this is what God's people and how they live. He was separating them from other nations, and that's what holiness means. The Greek word in that is kwados, which literally means set apart. It doesn't mean better than. It doesn't mean I'm doing it better than you. It means I'm actually separating you apart from the rest of the world. And then God's chosen people were actually looked at, and they were like, man, their God is the God I don't want to mess with. Because when they actually obeyed the laws, God's holiness was showed, and God's power came. And so the standard that we're called to live in holiness, is in order for us to be able to be set apart from the world, in order to be able to actually walk out the call of God for his kingdom to come, for his will to be done, for life to be breathed upon us, to be able to see our family saved. The ways that we do that is to be set apart from the world and to walk in holiness. But like I said, a lot of times we don't like standards. We want to live our life the way that we want to live because we don't want to change. We are people that like our rhythms. We like our ways. We like to be able to be in control. But that is something that we surrender when we say Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We surrender what we think is the standard, and we surrender it to God's standards. We live to God's standard. And the standard that God gives us is to be holy. But when we lower the standard, we look more like the world. And when we look more like the world, we can't actually minister to the world. We can't actually make a difference in the world. Because if you're not living different, you can't make a difference. But I believe that God is saying, hey, my church, this is the standard that I'm calling us to, is to be holy, for I am holy. And he wants to actually challenge us to walk in holiness and not lower the bar. Because what we'll do is we take the word of God and we're like, man, like, I know that it says, like, serve others unto them and count others more significant than myself. But this person going slow in traffic, so I'm going to cut them off because they're taking their sweet time and I got places to be, okay? And I do that, okay? But I got to repent later. But yeah, so we have to live in holiness, but we compromise the word of God, what is convenient to ourselves. But we want the benefits of God still. We're like, we're Christian. I'm in the church. I'm going to church. But the serving thing is not for me. But then God's word says, serve unto others as I have served you. And then the Bible says, don't have sex outside of marriage. But yet we're like, yeah, I know that, right? But we've been dating for a while, and we know we're talking about marriage. So we basically are already married, so we might as well. But like, it's not the same thing as just no sex outside of marriage, right? But we're lowering the standard. We're lowering the standard when you compromise the word of God. But I want you to understand that when we lower the standard, we lessen the impact. But God is rising up his church to understand that we are a holy church. We are set apart for the kingdom of God to advance. And we have to be able to say, you know what, God, regardless of what it takes, what it costs, I am going to walk out my life in holiness because that's the standard that you set for us. And he is inviting us into being able to actually walk in a life where we get to see God move. Like, that's not something that we should take for granted. We are worshiping and living and serving under a holy God. that wants to move and pursue our lives, that wants to bring us healing, that wants to set us free. And God is saying that I want to do that through my church. I want to do that through my people. But when you look so much like the world, people can't actually hear my voice anymore. And we have so many people hurt by Christians because people have lowered the standard. And we all fall short of that. And that's why Jesus came, fulfilled the law, fulfilled what was given in Leviticus, saying this is what's right, this is what's wrong. Jesus came and fulfilled the whole thing in order that we might be holy. Through him, we are holy. And he gave us his Holy Spirit that we are able to walk out our holiness. And I truly, truly believe that we are on the verge of where we are able to choose. Are we going to walk in holiness or are we going to compromise the standard? And I don't want to be a part of a church. I don't want to be a part of this capital church that we are looked at as someone that looks exactly like the world. Because the church is to be set apart. The church is to be blameless. And regardless, God is going to have his will and the church is blameless and set apart. But is my life going to exemplify that? Is my life going to honor God and say, man, something's different about you? Well, I want someone to be able to look at my life and say, what is it about you that you can stand in the middle of trials? What is it about you that you have peace right now? What is it about you that you have joy when everything else is falling apart? You know what that is? The holiness of God living in and through you. It's separate from the world. And I want to be a people like that. And that's the best way that we can live on mission. The best way that we can walk out our discipleship is to say, I'm holy because God is holy. And I'm going to walk out holiness because I want people to be able to walk into a room that I'm in and be like, something's different about her and I need to know what that is. It attracts the word of God. It attracts people to the kingdom of God. And so we're going to talk about looking at someone who lived out holiness in a really phenomenal way. And I'm not talking about Jesus either. Jesus would be an awesome example as well. But there's a man in scripture, and his name's Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, if you don't know too much about him, Jeremiah is taking place in the Old Testament. He has his own book, okay? And so he takes place in the Old Testament. And Jeremiah is in this season where, okay, backtrack. Israelites came out of Egypt, right? Or into the wilderness, came to the promised land. And then you got King Saul, King David, and King Solomon. After King Solomon, the God's people split into two different nations, and they went from the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And all throughout 1 and 2 Kings, what you'll see is that it'll just say, like, this king did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And, like, two chapters later, this king did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And it just keeps going. Like, that is all that is said about them. This king did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so all these kings kept doing evil in the eyes of the Lord, and God is sick of it. God is sick of his people not proclaiming his holiness. And so God literally is like, you know what? I'm going to place a prophet in the midst of this. And so Jeremiah comes in. He's around the end of all these kings doing evil, and his whole like prophetic ministry is during the last 5 years before the Babylonian exile. And so the Babylonian exile is coming, and that means destruction is coming on God's people because God is sick of the sin. And so Jeremiah is here. He's in a town called Anathoth, and in this town, they are worshiping false gods. They are burning incense to the wrong gods. They are worshiping the things that they made, and God is saying, I need to warn them that if they don't turn away, destruction is coming because God in his holiness has to defeat sin, has to set apart from sin. God cannot be claiming a holy people when they're not holy because that wouldn't make God God. God is God because of his holiness. He is like no other. And so Jeremiah is placed in the city to proclaim against people saying, turn away from your sin, turn away from what you're doing because destruction will come. And he had to choose to live in holiness because he wasn't about to be like, you know, turn away from your sins and go worship other idols, because then he would be a hypocrite. But then he wouldn't be able to actually minister to people because he was doing the same thing that they were doing. So how do you minister a message when you're doing the same thing? But again, we try and do the same thing. But God is showing us through the life of Jeremiah that when you choose to live out holiness, for I am holy, you will see my kingdom advanced. You will see God's plan take place. And so Jeremiah chapter 1, we're going to look at three ways that Jeremiah didn't compromise the standard of holiness. So three ways to walk in holiness. The first point is that you are set apart. And so Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10, it says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I set you, oh my gosh, I messed up, sorry. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send to you, and whatever I say, I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. See, Jeremiah was put in this culture, one that is turning away from God, one that is worshiping their own idols, doing what they want, and Jeremiah is now put in this position to say, man, going to speak a message of tearing down, bringing destruction, and then is going to build and plant. And so when Jeremiah heard this, he was like, God, I think you got the wrong person. One, I can't speak. Two, I am too young. And I looked up what the age Jeremiah was probably at, and they said he was probably around 20 years old. So a lot of us, we in our 20s, okay? So Jeremiah is right there with us. He's like, I'm too young. How am I supposed to go and speak against the people? Leaders, for emphasis, leaders were the ones that are even encouraging idol worship in this space. But Jeremiah, as a 20-year-old, is supposed to go and speak against that. But yet, God responded and said, don't say that you can't speak. Don't say that you're too young, because I have set you apart. And it was the point that Jeremiah, before he could do anything, before he could actually say a word, God already set him apart. It says, before I made you in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I set you apart. That apart is the same Greek or Hebrew word, kodesh, that we talked about in Leviticus, which is holy. I set you holy. I set you apart. And Jeremiah had to do nothing to earn that. No action that he did. God was like, oh, that's good. I'm going to set him apart. No, God created him set apart. And there's beauty in that, because Jeremiah didn't have to go to a place of striving to be holy. He came from the place of holiness. And there's a confidence that Jeremiah was able to have in knowing that for the next 40 years, Jeremiah prophesied and did not waver the holiness that God spoke to him about. He didn't lower the standard, because he knew before he was even formed, God knew him and set him apart. And when you encounter a God, the holy God, who created you and formed you and set you apart before you could even do anything, you lift up your shoulders and you're like, I'm here for a reason. And I think when we think about our 20s, and I'm right there with you, okay? I'm in my 20s. And when I think about the 20s, I think about this one Instagram video where it's like, what do? Do I pay a bill? Like, do I put money into my 401k? What's a 401k? You know what a video I'm talking about? Yeah, okay. That's what I think about with my 20s. I'm like, truly, what is a 401k? Please, someone tell me. And I think about all the decisions we have to make. It's like, okay, I just graduated college. Do I go into my dream job? But I can't really go into my dream job. But I want to go into my dream job. But I also need to survive and make money. So let me just settle for this job while I'm trying to pursue my dream job. And it's a struggle, okay? Y'all feel that. Amen? Amen. Thank you. So in our 20s, we're like, what do I do? But the thing about it is, there's a confidence that even if you're in a season that you're not sure about, you know that God has already set you apart, though, for this season, for a reason. And we have to understand that God is writing the fullness of our story. And when he places you where you're at for a season, he has set you apart for a reason, for that space. You never know who you're coming across to in a season that you think is a mistake that God's going to use to minister to them to change their lives. And when you walk into your workplace holy, people, your coworkers are going to be like, how are they okay doing this job? Because this is stressing me out. But you have peace that surpasses all understanding because you're serving a holy God. And when you walk in holiness, regardless of where you feel that you're misplaced, you understand that I've been set apart before I could even do anything to earn that, receive it, to make happen. We don't have to kick down doors for the kingdom of God. We don't have to kick down doors to walk in purpose because we understand that when God sets us apart, we're always walking in purpose because we're holy. And God is setting us apart to be able to minister in and through us to the people around us. But I challenge you to say, are you lowering the standard because you're doubting that you're in a wrong season or you're in a wrong space or you're needing to kick down walls to step into what God has for you? Are you lowering the standard of holiness saying, God, I'm going to come back to this, but let me go make something happen first and then I'll start living holy again? But serving in holiness is saying the standard is I'm set apart and regardless where God places me, I'm here for a reason and for a purpose to bring the kingdom of God to advance. And we can trust that we serve a God that has set us apart. Amen? God has set us apart for his kingdom to come. And Jeremiah understood this. And so Jeremiah boldly walked into the message that God gave him, telling people, telling his neighbors, telling his friends, you are serving the wrong God. And we're going to get into that. And so the next point that I have for you is don't settle for idols. In scripture, all throughout the Old Testament, God makes it really clear to have no other gods before him. He wrote it on a tablet called the Ten Commandments. God was serious about idol worship because he knew that idol worship was actually just compromising him as the holy God. And he knew that the idols actually had nothing to offer these people. And so the idol worship was a common thing that the God's people would fall into. I mean, we see it in Genesis. Okay, hello. Eve idolized that apple over everything else in that moment. So we're going to have a conversation with Eve, okay? But I'm just kidding. But Eve, she idolizes that apple, right? And then we see even for like Moses, when Moses was on the mountain, people were getting really impatient that we're not on that mountain, okay? Moses was literally meeting with God, okay? Getting the Ten Commandments, getting the whole plan of how God was going to dwell with them. And the people off the mountain were like, what is taking them so long? I am sick and tired of waiting for them. So what they did, they were like, Aaron, make us a god. And so then Aaron folded the bag, okay? Compromised the word of God and made an idol. And so they made the golden calf. And so when they worshiped that idol, though, it was because they didn't get to see, they were waiting on God and God wasn't showing up. So they said, let me take it into my own hands. But you see, when we worship idols, we're compromising who God really is because we're actually not seeing what we want in God. So we're going to try and find it somewhere else. But you see, Jeremiah, he explains what idols really are. And so in Jeremiah 10, 3 through 5, it says, for the practices of the people are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest, and a craftsman shape it with his chisel. They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with a hammer and nails so it will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field, their idols cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. Do not fear them. They can do no harm, nor can they do any good. And so these idols, this idol worship, the way that they would create idols is they would literally go down and cut a tree, chisel the wood out into whatever image they wanted to, and then say, you know what? Okay, this is my idol. It's whatever image that they wanted. And then they would put like gold and silver on it to adorn it, to be able to give it value. But you see, idols can't hold up any value, okay? And so then they had to hammer the idol down to be able to stabilize it. And then it goes on to say they can't walk, they can't talk, and they can do no harm, but they can't do good either because they're an idol. They're literally wood. And Jeremiah was exposing these idols because he's saying, look at what you're actually worshiping. You're not worshiping a god. You're worshiping wood. You're worshiping something that you had to add value to. But you see, Jeremiah then explains actually who God is. And so it says in Jeremiah 10, 12 through 13, but God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. When he thunders, the waters in the heavens roar. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightnings with rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. You see, Jeremiah was exposing that these idols were so false and that we are worshiping a holy God. But again, a lot of times we don't like to hear the word holy because it challenges the way that we live. So what we'll do is we'll separate the holiness away from God. So we'll say, you know what, I don't really want to like do X, Y, and Z because I don't really want to like not give up like being selfish and not give up being prideful and not give up trying to do my own way because, you know, I want to do my thing. But I want the benefits of God, so I'm going to come to church, I'm going to worship God, I'm going to say I'm a Christian, and I'm going to do what I want, but I'm separating God's holiness from him. But you see, when you understand that, when you are trying to worship God without his holiness, you're not worshiping God at all because God is God because he is holy, because he is completely set apart from the idols of this world, because he is completely set apart from anything else that we've ever seen. Earth is God's footstool. When his name is spoken, things have to change. Jeremiah says that there is power in the name of God. In his mighty name comes power. When you worship idols, there's no power in that. But you see, we lower the standard to say, you know what, I'm okay with the holiness side, or I'm okay with the God side of things, but I'm not okay with the holiness side of things. So you're just going to miss God completely then, because God in his totality is holy. But when you lessen the standard, that's when you start finding yourself going to idols. That's when you start seeing yourself, you know what, God's not giving me like what I really need right now, so I'm going to go make my own idol. God's not really giving me my husband right now, so I'm going to go date whoever I want. God's not really giving me the house that I need and the bills that I need, so I'm going to go work 4 other side jobs when God tells me to rest in a season. There's many things that God is telling us in his holiness that is for our benefit, but we don't look at God in the totality of who he is as the holy God. By his understanding, he stretched heavens across the earth. Earth is his footstool. It shakes at his name. Thunder roars from his name, and there is no one like him. And in his totality, we see the holiness of God. But when we lower it, we find ourselves actually worshiping idols. And so I want to challenge you, what idols have you settled for because you haven't been pursuing the holiness of God? What are the idols in your life that you're like, God, I've actually settled to only receive some of you because I haven't been patient enough to pursue all of you? There is holiness in God. And the beautiful thing about God and his holiness is that, man, when you encounter God and his holiness, you will never be the same. And so to say this, I actually went on a retreat this last weekend, and it was super awesome. I went on like this women's retreat, and going into the retreat, like I said, I'm in need of like a touch from God, okay? I've been doing the things. I've been going to church. I've been reading my Bible. I'm like, Lord, have your way in my life. But there comes a point where I was like, God, I actually really need you to start showing up in these ways. Like, I actually need some answers on these prayers. I actually need some healing in my body. I actually need you to move in my life in a real, tangible way. Because I will say yes to you, but there is a delight that we can have when we encounter the holiness of God as we're pursuing him. And so I went into this retreat expectant for God to move. And that's the thing, when we worship a holy God, we can actually expect him to move. When we worship idols, they can do nothing for you. But when we worship a holy God, we can come into a space like this and say, God, I'm in need of a touch from you. I'm in need of healing from you. I'm in need of an answer from you. I'm in need of provision for you. I need peace from you. And when you pursue and have an expectation that the holy God will meet you, I promise you, he will meet you in one way or another. And so I went into this retreat weekend, and I was like, God, I need a touch from you. I need an encounter with you. And so the Lord, I went on this retreat. We had a few sessions. And after the last session, I didn't get what I was looking for. I'm not going to lie. I was like, God, I told you I needed a touch from you. And I will still follow you because, you know, I love you. But I need you to move right now. And so I was talking to my friend, and you need friends that pray over you, okay? Let me just preface that. So I was talking to my friend who was a prayer warrior. And she basically was like, I'm just going to pray over you, okay? So she starts praying. And in that moment, I knew it was a holy moment. Because And it was like she wasn't even there. I was literally hearing straight from God. And it was like God opened up my journal over the last 4 months and read it. And was like, Jess, I see you. I'm healing your body. I have provision for you. You don't have to worry about anything. I'm bringing life to the season that you feel like is miserable. And I'm bringing breath inside your lungs again because I've been grieving. And the Lord is saying, no, I'm reviving your soul again. And it was, in that moment, I just broke, because I was like, the gaps that I feel like I had, these gaps in my hand in my life, that I was like, God, I don't like see you in these, and I need answers, but I'm also okay to still follow you. It was like, I'm gonna have to put this down. The holiness of God filled the gap. And when you see and meet the holiness of God, because he is holy and knows you intimately, he fills every gap that you've been longing for. Idols can only fill and sustain a part of your life for a season of your life before they're shallow. But God in his intimate holiness will impact and intertwine your whole life and fill every gap that you're looking for in one encounter. One night, my life has changed from that night. I was marked that night. And it set me aflame to be able to continue to walk this costly life of discipleship. And when we understand that we're worshiping a holy God, I believe that when you set aside the idols and when we pursue the holiness of God, we will be encountered and we will be marked. And people will say, what is that church about? What are they doing? Because I need that. I need that touch. And I believe that God wants to minister in and through you to your families, to your cities, to our city. So we're able to see a move of God take place because God wants to move in our life. But for us to be able to do that, we got to lay aside the idols. So what are the idols in your life that you've been compromising the standard of holiness for? And my last point is live for the audience of God, not for the audience of man. And so Jeremiah in this season, he is bringing the message, okay? People are not liking him. He is literally going to people and like, turn away from what you're doing. And the people in this city, in Anathoth, his hometown, we're like, we are mad at this guy. I am sick of him telling me this message. And so in Jeremiah 11, 18 through 19, it says, because the Lord revealed their plot to me, I knew it. For at the time he showed me what they were doing, I had been like a gentle lamb led to slaughter. I did not realize that they had plotted against me, saying, let us destroy the tree and its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. These people were not happy with Jeremiah. They did not want to be Jeremiah's friend. They didn't want to hang out with him. They wanted to cut him off from the land, that he be remembered no more, okay? So they wanted to kill this man. So Jeremiah, God revealed this plan to Jeremiah. And so in this moment, Jeremiah had a decision to make. Jeremiah had a decision to either stay with holiness and being set apart and preaching the message that God gave him, or compromise it, shut his mouth, and keep his life. That was the choices that God, that Jeremiah had before him. It was either keep preaching and people trying to kill you, or you can actually, you know what, I don't know if this is God's best for me. I'm going to stop preaching this message because I'm going to die. He had a choice to make. And I believe that we come to these crossroads in our faith where we're going to have a choice to make. Are we going to actually surrender our comfortability for the cost of Jesus and surrender our comfortability to walk in holiness? Are we going to back down and lower the standard and say, you know what? I'm okay for being set apart. That's getting too tough over there. I'm actually going to blend into the world a little bit more. But when we have a choice to make, we can choose to walk in holiness. And you see, Jeremiah, I believe in this moment, remembered what God told him in chapter 1. And so in Jeremiah 1:17, this is after God has called Jeremiah. I've set you apart. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. I have given you, God's hand touched his mouth. And then it says in Jeremiah 1:17, get yourself ready, stand up, and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Yeah, God made it plain and simple for Jeremiah to follow. Either you follow my word, or I will terrify you before them. Either you live for the audience of one, or you live for the audience of man. And at the end of the day, I believe that we have a choice to make daily. And it's a choice to be able to live for the audience of God or live for the audience of man. And the thing about it is, what brings the fear of God in my life to continue to want to walk in holiness is to remember that I'm going to make an account to God one day, not man. That I'm going to have to give an account for my life, for the totality of my life, for the decisions I make, for the words I speak, for the reactions that I have. I'm going to have to stand before God one day and say, God, that is why I chose that. And God's going to be like, why did you choose this? I'm like, this is why I chose that. And I'm going to stand before God, not man. And so even though man is before you now, and you see man trying to tempt you, trying to push you, trying to challenge you, trying to get you to blend in, God is saying, man, if you stand and remember that you're standing before me at the end of the day, and you're giving account to me at the end of the day, I'm going to defend you. And that's exactly what God did for Jeremiah. God defended him. God exposed this plan of these wicked people trying to kill him, and said to these people, they will be remembered no more. That there won't even be a remnant of the people of Anathoth because of their deceiving plan to try and kill Jeremiah. When Jeremiah stood to be holy regardless of the cost, God moved on his behalf and defended him. And when we worship a holy God and when we stand true to walking in holiness and not compromising the standard, we will see the God that is our defender protect us and guard us and fight on our behalf. But we won't see God move in that way if we lower the standard. We won't see God move in the way that we're praying for if we lower the standard. But God is calling us to stand and be holy, for I am holy. And he wants to remind us, you're going to stand before me one day. And the beautiful thing about that, there's the fear of the Lord in that. There's also so much freedom in that. Because when I think about my life and how, when I've wanted to defend myself, I've been in some sticky situations, okay? And there was a time a few years ago where I literally, like, I got, like, my name was, like, trashed. Like, there was a huge misunderstanding, and people just, like, they did not like me, okay? And I was just very, very hurt by it. And so when I was really hurt by it, I was like, God, I wish I could just go and talk to them and explain to them, like, this is what was actually happening. Like, that's not what it meant. Like, all this stuff. And God was like, I need you to forgive them. And I was like, okay, I can forgive them. I can forgive them. And he was like, forgive it and release it to me. And I was like, okay, can I do that and have the conversation? And he was like, no. Okay, forgive them and release it to me. And that didn't just go away with the frustration of it, though. Okay, we think once we forgive, it's like, oh, I love them. No, okay? It's a process. And you're continuing to forgive. You're continuing to choose to be holy and set apart and to forgive. But when you do that, they also are going to stand before the Lord one day. The same people that were going to kill Jeremiah would stand before the Lord one day and give an account. And God would say, why did you want to kill him? Why were you planning that scheme? Oh, because I didn't like his message. I don't know if God's going to like that, okay? But when you stand before God and understand that me and you, we're all going to stand before the Lord. And so there is a freedom that I can have knowing that, God, you are my defender now and for eternity. And if I choose to forgive now, I'm going to be able to stand before you and say, God, I forgave. And so we get to choose that. We get to walk in holiness now. And I want to encourage you to not lower the standard of holiness. It's not easy. It's not the easy way to walk. It's not the wide path. It's the narrow path. It takes work. It takes discipline. It takes surrender. It's costly. It's a daily sacrifice. It's a daily dying to flesh. But man, when you walk in the holiness, when you walk in holiness set apart from the world, we're going to see a move of God take place like we've never seen before in our generation. And we're not even going to impact our generation. We're impacting the next generation and the next generation. And we have to open up our eyes to see the fullness of the picture that when we choose to be holy, like God is holy, his kingdom's going to come. So I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to close out. I believe that God has been ministering to all of us in the room. Maybe you have never stepped into relationship with Christ. Maybe you're like, I don't even know really who God is, the holiness of God, but I am drawn to you, and I am drawn to what God's doing, and I am drawn to what he's doing in this room. Maybe you're someone that's like, you know, I've been following God for a long time, but I've actually been struggling knowing that I am set apart. I've been doubting my own calling. I've been doubting the things that God has placed me in. I've been doubting the season that I am. I feel like the season is a mistake, but God is saying that you're set apart. But maybe you're someone that you're like, you know what? I've been worshiping idols. I've been settling for idols because I haven't seen God move in a way that I need, so I settled for something else. And I believe that God wants to encounter you in a holy way tonight because he is a holy God. And maybe some of us, you need to repent and turn away from the sins of being able to try and take things into your own hand or choosing to compromise the standard, whatever it is for you. I believe in this moment that if you want to engage, you will engage with the holy God. And so I'm going to pray over us, and then we're going to respond. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God, that when we come in contact with you, we cannot live the same. God, for you are holy. There is none like you. There is power in your name. And you have set us apart in this world to be the bride of Christ, to be the church, to stand apart from the world and be able to declare good news that we are not from this world, that we are foreigners in this world, but we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And I believe, God, that you are going to move on hearts tonight. So, Lord, I pray right now, God, for those that have never stepped into relationship with you, those that don't know you, those that have been living their own life, being their own God, doing their own thing, and it's been weighty, it's been stressful, and you've wanted to give up. But you're saying, you know what, tonight I want to worship the holy God. I want to come into relationship with the holy God. I want to serve the holy God. If that's you, I just want you to lift up your hand. It's a moment between you and God. But if you're wanting to give your life to Christ tonight, and you're wanting to surrender and say, I want to step into relationship and say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior and fully surrender my life to him, I just want you to lift up your hand. Amen. Amen. I want you to repeat after me. And all of the believers, we're going to pray with them. Dear God, I thank you that you came, you died for my sins, and you rose again, defeating death. You came to fulfill the entire law because you are holy. And you have now set me apart to walk in holiness. So God, I declare, I turn away from my life. I say that you are my Lord, my Savior, in Jesus' name, amen. Can we give it up for those that just gave their life to Christ? That is the best decision you could ever make in your entire life. And so I want to encourage you that if you just gave your life to Christ, or if you've been walking with Christ for a long time, and you have never gotten baptized, we have baptisms tonight. Amen. And the thing about baptisms is that baptisms is a moment where you are marked in front of your friends and family, and you are declaring publicly that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And you know a way to live holy? You want to know a way to live set apart? Is to be able to declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior publicly. And when you are dunked in the water, you are leaving your old life behind. And when you are raised again, you are walking in a confidence that I am called, I am set apart, I am made new, and I am serving a holy God who is my Lord and my Savior. And so if that is you, and you're like, Jess, I need to get baptized tonight, we have everything that you need to get baptized. We have clothes, we have towels, we have everything that you need. And so I would encourage you to go out those back doors. We have leaders that would love to meet with you, love to connect with you. And so we're actually going to go into celebrating baptisms in a moment. But I don't want to move past you guys being able to respond as well. Because I believe there were things that we need to lay at the altar tonight. I think there's repentance that needs to take place. I think there's idols that we need to lay down. I think there's a confidence, and there needs to be an encounter with the Holy God. If you've never encountered God in a tangible way, I believe that He will meet you tonight. And so if that is you, if you're saying, God, I need to either lay something down, I either need to repent for something, or I just want a touch from you, I want you to get out your seat and I want you to come to this altar. Because there is a boldness that takes place, the expectation saying, God, I'm coming forward to meet with you. I'm coming forward to take place to understand that I'm going to meet with a holy God. And as you guys are coming down, we're going to pray. And I believe that God is going to minister to you in the way that you are needing. And I don't want you to hold back. This is why we do services. This is why young adults exist, is to create a space for you to be empowered, to be equipped, and to be able to meet with God. So don't hold back. If you need to meet with God tonight, come and meet with God. And so I'm going to pray, Lord, God, I thank you that you are holy. I thank you that you are matchless. I thank you, God, that you are pressing on our hearts, not in a condemning way, but God, in an invitation saying that there is a wound, there is an area of compromise that you want to touch in our lives because you want us to experience the totality of your holiness. And God, I believe that even in this moment, God, that people are repenting, God, that we, God, as the body of Christ, God, I just want to say this, God, as the body of Christ, we repent. God, as the Christians in this world, we repent. Lord, we repent for compromising the word of God. We repent for lowering the standard because of comfortability, because of fear of man, because of wanting to be our own gods. Lord, we repent. And God, I pray that you will wash us clean. God, will you set us apart? Will you wash us clean? Will you repurify us? That we may actually go out and live holy as you are holy. Lord, in whatever area, God, if it's idols, Lord, I pray that we will be able to set it apart. I believe that there's idols of relationship that need to be put down. Idols of false religion and works that need to be put down. Idols of fear of future, fear of the unknown, fear of the next, fear of missing out, that need to be put down. And so God, right now in this moment, as we are surrendering our idols to you, God, will we encounter the holiness of God as we raise the standard to be holy like you are holy? Will you encounter us like never before? And God, I pray that you will get all the honor, all the glory. God, all of our worship, because you are the only one that is worthy. The only one that is worthy of our praise. The only one that is worthy of our lives. So God, we completely lay it down to you. And we ask you to have your way in this moment. Mark us by your holiness. In Jesus' name.